I didn't want him to stop there. You know, when we talk about the love of God, I can identify with what Pastor Joshua said. You know, just it's crazy because I got this message here and it's called Friends of God. And our walk, this walk with Christ, is one of love. It's one built around love, like he was saying, like Jesus came down and he bore our sins. No matter what we've gone through, no matter what we've done, we can always call upon the name of Jesus. You know, like there's a verse in the Bible that's talking about there's no height, there's no depth, there's no width, there's no length that can separate you from the love of Christ. And I believe that every leader here is a product of that. You know, we're products of grace, we're products of mercy. And I am at a point where I don't take the second chance for granted. You know, I almost lost my life 4 years ago because I was involved in all the wrong things. I was involved in a different lifestyle. You know, one that is totally different from what I walk today. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful. You know, that's why I walk the way I do. That's why I my relationship with Christ is the way it is because he revealed himself to me. You know, I desire to be like Jesus. We look at the life of Jesus in the Bible, and man, no matter how busy he got, no matter how hectic life got, he always made it a point to spend time with the Father. You know, we look at it today like us being children, sons and daughters of our earthly parents. When, you know, you all know that I'm a father. Adriel's my daughter. Well, she's at a point in her life right now where she wants to spend every second with me. You know? And I don't take that for granted because I almost lost that chance. But that's what I hope to model in my life, you know, to desire the presence of God above all else, to desire to be in the Father's presence above all else, to desire to be in the presence of the Father even more so than anything else. You know, and it's all built around love, and I thank God for the testimony of Pastor Joshua because the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Never be afraid to share what God has pulled you through. We've all been through things that we shouldn't have made it out of. We've all been in situations that sometimes we think about a little bit too much. But the blood of Christ makes you clean. That's something else, though. It's crazy because I got this message. It's on being a friend of God and Psalms 103 and 7, he says, he made known his ways to Moses, but his acts to Israel. And Israel is like God's chosen people. How many people know that? You know, that's who God, you know, that's his people. That's who he, you know what I mean? That's who he's going to come back through is like the children of Israel. That's his chosen people. That's the people that he designed. But the difference between Moses and Israel, although Israel saw the miracles that God performed, see, God used Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt. He freed them from the prison that they were in. He freed them from the things that they were going through. And he basically gave them a promise that they would inherit a land flowing with milk and honey. And in the midst of that process, Israel was disobedient. They didn't want to live. They were out of their comfort zone. They didn't want to go through the process that God had for them. So they turned an 11-day journey into 40 years out of disobedience, out of not listening, out of just rebellion. Thank you. So that verse, he says, he made known his ways to Moses, But his acts to Israel, see, Israel had seen, God had told them that I'm going to lead you in a pillar by day and in a fire at night. Like God even provided them with manna. They didn't have to do nothing but walk outside their tent door. Heavenly Father, we welcome you right now. Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you. And Father, we declare that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we declare, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you, we love you, we honor you, and we bless you tonight. Father, we pray that your word would be effective tonight. And Father, we just thank you for loving us so much that you sent your son, Jesus, to die upon the cross for us. And Father, we praise you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. So with all that, you know, the message is titled, Friends of God. And it's out of Exodus 33, 7 through 11, and I'll read. I'm reading out of the ESV tonight. It says, Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Now the Bible, this particular passage of scripture, is talking about a tabernacle that was built outside of the camp because God was basically speaking through Moses saying, because of your disobedience, because of everything that you guys are doing, because of your rebellion, I'm no longer going to go with you, but I'm going to put my tent outside of the camp. See, because he wanted to tell them, he wanted them to understand that it now fell upon them to seek the presence of God. See, before their disobedience, before their rebellion, the glory of God would follow them. The glory of God would be with them wherever they went. But God was at a point where he was ready to teach them, that saying, hey, if you're not going to listen to me, if you're not going to, you know, spend time in my presence, I'm no longer going to give you the opportunity to be with me. Now you have to seek me. It's kind of like what we do today. We have to set apart time in our day to seek the face of God. You know, we talk about the presence of God. We talk about prayer, but that's something that none of the leaders here can do for you. You know, the Bible talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's nothing nobody can develop except us. It falls upon us to build the relationship with Christ. It falls upon us to seek him every day. And we do that by reading the word, by praying, and by seeking God on a daily basis. And I'm not here tonight to preach a dark message. I'm just sharing what God gave me. Are you guys with me? You guys sleeping? I'm sorry. You're going to have to stay up a little bit longer. But a friend is defined as a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. And I keep talking about the title of the message being Friends of God. Since we're in relationship with God, since we're designed to worship God, since we're designed to seek after the face of God, it's up to us to seek him. You guys with me? Moses was a friend of God because Moses sought God, right, on a daily basis. God would speak to Moses. But he set up the tabernacle, the tent, outside of the camp. And Moses' relationship with God was so strong that when he would go to the tabernacle, the glory of God, the cloud, would fall upon that tent. Like this man was so devoted to God that his presence never left him. It left Israel. It lifted off of Israel. But it didn't depart from Moses. And when Israel would see the cloud descend upon the tent, it caused them to worship. Moses was so in tune with God that he could feel the heart of God. He could feel the Spirit of God. He could feel. And Moses was so in tune with God that when Moses prayed, God would listen. See, God was at a point where he didn't want to go with them. But this particular passage is basically telling us that because God says something, it's not always definite. Sometimes God is looking for somebody like you and me to stand in the gap on behalf of our friends and our family. And this all ties in with what Pastor Joshua has been teaching on line of communication. This is called intercession. Intercessory prayer is basically us standing in the gap on behalf of the people that we love, on behalf of our friends and our family, those ones that maybe they have been through something so tough that they're mad at God. The sibling that maybe they're so hateful, maybe they've been through so much trauma that they refuse to come on a Wednesday night. Well, you guys do come. Maybe it's for that parent, I don't know. But intercessory prayer is basically a prayer that's built out of our love of God. See, I was talking about this relationship being built out of love, and when you love something or somebody, you always want to spend time with them. Are you with me? See, God is looking for a generation of young men and women who are so desperate for God to move in their situation. Moses basically didn't go there on behalf of himself. Moses was praying on behalf of a nation. His relationship with God was so deep that he prayed and he asked God to go with them. Because like I said earlier, God didn't want to go with them. He said, now it's up to you guys to seek me. He said, it's up to you guys to seek me. I'm no longer going to follow you. But because of Moses' persistence, because Moses didn't let that no stop him, and he prayed on behalf of his people, God changed his plan. God changed his plan, and he decided that he would go with them. But he says, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. See, when our relationship with God is so in tune, because you develop a prayer life, because you set apart a certain time of your day, Your friends and family are going to come to Christ because of you. God's going to use your relationship to pull others in. God is going to use the light that you show in your, the way that you carry yourself, to pull others into the kingdom of God. But there's a place in prayer, there's a place in our relationship with God that where this is how it is. You know, I work at 7 o'clock, but I get up typically about 4, between 4 and 5 a.m. And while my daughter's still sleeping, I go into the living room and I open up my word. And I turn on some music and I begin to cry out. See, I'm a grown man, but I cry a lot. Not because of things that I'm going through. But sometimes you become so in tune with God that He allows you to feel His heart. You know, a lot of you guys know my story. An ex-drug addict, an ex-knucklehead. None of you guys would want to hang out with me. I probably would have set you guys up before. I was mean. But God saved my life. You know, I'd overdose. I shared this with you guys before, but I'd overdosed. And I should have died that night. And I prayed all kinds of prayers. But when I finally said, Jesus, don't let my daughter grow up without me, He gave me a second chance. It's crazy because I really keep wanting to go with this, but I feel like I should share my testimony. You know, I was even sensing it back there. But here we have an ex-drug addict, somebody that did so much dope and drank so much alcohol that his heart should have exploded. And this was November 5th, 2014. And this bubble had formed in my right big toe, and it began to move inch by inch. And I knew something was wrong, and this lady that I was hanging out with at the time, I was like, man, something's wrong. And she was like, you're going to be okay. But inside, I knew I wasn't. Inside, I knew that I wasn't going to be okay. Inside, I knew that I had to make it to a hospital. This was about 4:30 that night. It was late afternoon. It started getting dark. And I began to walk, and I would black out. I did so much drugs that day that I would black out. I'd never done that before. And I would fall, and I went to this other girl's house and who was a couple blocks away, and I'm like, man, I need help. I was like, I need help. Man, she took one look at me. She said, you ain't going to get it here. And I said, I'm about to die. And she goes, you're not going to die here. Those were the types of people that I called my friends. Those were the type of people that I hung out with. But her son and her daughter, who were about 12 and 13 at the time, they knew something was wrong. Her son ran out. And I said, man, I just need a drink of water. He said, is that all you need, Randy? I said, yes. He ran inside, he grabbed a cup of water, and he came out. My mouth was a lot drier than it is now. But I drank that water, and I said, I got to go. And she was like, you're not going to die here. It's kind of funny, you know? It is funny. But I began to walk downtown, and how many know where Sarah's is at, the Mexican restaurant? Well, I was walking right in front of there, and by that time, the snow fell. It was like a movie. It's like, you know, you ever watch a movie where the snow is just falling like this, like a musical? You know, like a conductor? But that's what had happened. And I was getting off the ground, and I'm like, man, God, I remembered every bad thing that I did. I remembered every person that I hurt. Like, it was like a movie when I was walking. And it's like, God, forgive me, because I didn't want to die. And I fell down, or I came to, and I was on a corner of Sarah's in this building, and I'm looking, and I'm like, man, this is kind of eerie. It was like a movie. You know, the snow falling real slow. There was no traffic. It was real snowy. By that time, it was about 7. This episode had gone on for a couple hours. And I blacked out, and I came to again. In the back of, I almost called it Deaconess. Tell you guys how old I am. Billings Clinic used to be called Deaconess. But anyways, I was in back of there in between a psych ward and the hospital. And I was under that skywalk, and I began to look like, you know, like I could see a car coming. And I was like, man. And I seen the lights on the top. I lifted up my hands, and it was a cop. It was a cop, so I lifted up my hands. I'm like, ma'am. It was a lady cop. And I was like, ma'am, I don't have anything on me, but I need help. And she took one look at me, and she threw me in the back of the cop car. She didn't even handcuff me. She drove around to the front, to the ER. They took me in. They checked my vitals, and they didn't even hold me in there. You know, they took me straight to her room. And the whole time I'm praying, like, God, forgive me, because I didn't want to die, but if I died, I wanted to go to heaven. And I'm thinking about everything that I'd done. And by that time, my heart is, like, you know, that bubble that I was telling you about, that gone through my heart, and it didn't kill me, but something inside of me told me that when it got to my head that I was going to die. You know, there's some things that you just know. There's some things that you just know are going to happen for certain. And that was one of them things. And I was still praying. And there was a nurse on this side and a nurse on this side. And they were holding my hands, and they were telling me to calm down. And by then, man, I was like, you know, like how you really, like, tense up and you push? Like, how many of you have ever done that on your bed? Or maybe a chair? You know what I mean? Like, you just really tense up. And that's what I was doing. And I kept scooting deeper and deeper into that bed because I knew I was going to die. This is November 5th, 2014. And those nurses, one of the nurses had said, we'll pray with you. And by then I was going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the two nurses holding my hands were praying with me. And by then that bubble came about right here. And I knew when it got to my brain that I was going to die. Literally inches from my death. And I left that hospital bed. I left that hospital bed. At the time, I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what I was going through, but I left that hospital bed and I went to a house where the roof just opened up. And right there, I looked down. And at that moment, I realized why I was here. I saw my daughter on this side of a living room, and her mother, who was my wife at the time, on this side of the living room. It was a Friday night, and she was saying, baby, who? Do who? and crow that's saying, baby, come here. Baby, come here. It's what she was saying, and they were laughing and they were giggling. And my daughter was just turned one a month before, about 28 days before. And she was rocking back and forth. Remember, babies, when they can't really walk, they're learning how to crawl. They kind of sit on their butt and they try to, you know. I saw that. And it was at that moment I realized why I was on this earth. And I said, Jesus, do not let my daughter grow up without me. Give me another chance to be her father. And the moment I said that, I kid you not, that bubble that was right here that was coursing through my body, it popped. Boop. It just popped. And I went right back to the hospital room. And I kind of started coming to my senses, and those nurses were on either side, and I kind of looked at them, and I'm like, man, like, what am I doing? And I tried to get up, and I had a hospital gown on, and I'm like, where are my clothes at? Where's my phone at? I just almost died, and the first thing I wanted to look for was my phone. And I was like, where's my phone at? And then, you know, by then, those, you know, you guys been in the hospital room, or beep, beep, all those, excuse me, sorry. But you know, all those beeping, beep, beep, I can't do it right now because my voice is jacked. But that's, I could hear that, and I'm like, man, like, you know, what's going on? And I got my phone, and I deleted my history. I did a factory data reset. That's how sick I was. You know, I literally almost just died. And the first thing on my mind was to erase my phone because of the type of lifestyle that I was involved in. See, I was thinking like, okay, if the cops come in, there'll be nothing on my phone. No transactions. How sick could I be? They won't be able to tell where the drugs are. They won't know who I got them from or who I gave them to. They wouldn't know that. I had literally almost just died, and I asked my phone, and I did a factory data reset. And by that time, I pulled out the IVs. You know, and then blood was going all over. But I pulled out the IVs and I said, man, I got to get out of here. And I left. It's kind of funny, isn't it? No, I put on my clothes. By then, I'd asked to leave. And you know, I was walking out, and this cop, the same cop that saved my life, was trying to prevent me from going outside. And she was standing there, and she was like, no. And then she, like, pushed me. And then me being so full, you know what I mean? Like, just in the wrong type of mindset, I was like, ma'am, if you push me one more time, I'm going to defend myself. That's how I treated the people who saved my life. I said, I'm going to defend myself. But anyway, long story short, you fast forward a couple months to Super Bowl Sunday 2015. That was the last time I'd used drugs and alcohol. I entered myself into treatment. Within that time, from November 5th to probably April of that year, I went into the hospital about 3 or 4 times. You know, but it's because of an encounter with God like that that I serve him today. And when I came out of treatment, I moved into a house that had everything I battled against. One of my roommates was sponsored by Montucky. It's a beer. They were sponsored, and there was cases of it in his room. He would get them for free. And I'm not telling you guys this because I'm glorifying that lifestyle. I'm basically telling you the battles that I faced when I came back, right? Well, another one of my roommates had all kinds of marijuana. There was a woman in there. But there was a little room that used to be a music studio. I used to be in the music, and my cousin, who was a DJ, who is a DJ, had let me sleep in that room. It was the smallest room in that house. And it was in that house, in that room, the smallest room of the house, where I said, God, you know what, man, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I always hear about people talking about prayer, but I want you to reveal yourself to me. Man, at the time I was a dishwasher at Lucky's Market. I was making $9 an hour. And my schedule was always all over. I would start at 9, 10, 11, 1 o'clock. It was always different. But I would get up at 4 or 5 in the morning. And I would pray because I knew if I didn't spend time with God that I wouldn't have the strength to defeat everything that I was facing. See, the enemy, he was so strong, he was so strategic that I was in a house and the temptation was so heavy. But I knew because of what God delivered me from that I didn't want to return back to that lifestyle. He basically broke me out of my Egypt. I no longer knew about the things that he said. I no longer knew about the things that he did, but I knew him on a personal level. And the reason why I came to know him, the reason why he allowed me to know who he was because I came to a certain point in my life where I made the decision that no matter what I was facing, I was going to seek the face of God. It was in the smallest room of that house that God would show himself to me. I would open up my Bible and it became my bread. It became my water. And that's all I did was eat, sleep, and drink the word of God. And I would say, God, show me who you are. Everybody talks about prayer. Show me. And it was in that room that I began to cry. I began to seek the heart of God. And he would allow me to feel his heart. And I would cry for my family. I was at a point in my life where my mother had turned away from me, not because she didn't love me, but because she could not help me. I was at a point in my life where my daughter's mother did not allow me to see my own daughter. They were tired of catering to me. It was when I lost everything that God made himself real to me. Exactly a week before I got my daughter back, I remember talking to my brother and he was brushing his teeth. It was a Thursday, about 10 o'clock. I don't know, don't ask me why. I know these dates and times. I have a weird thing with numbers. I have a weird thing of dates. I even remember my number from when I was a kid. How many of you guys remember your house number? All right, I'm not weird, all right. But I told my brother, I said, my daughter's coming back. He kind of laughed at me. He was the only one in my family who never turned her back. Why do you say that? I said, because she is. At that point, when I would pray, I stopped praying for my daughter. I grabbed the onesie, you know, the things that babies use, the one, it's one onesie. But I would hold that. And that became my prayer cloth. And I would hold it and I would just pray when I would get into the presence of God. And exactly a week later, on a Thursday about 3 p.m, my ex-sister-in-law had called me. She had hated my guts 6 months before. And she said, Randy, where are you? And I said, I'm up here in the Heights, what's up? She said, You want to come get your daughter? And I said, where you at? She told me, you know, what was going on. And I was like, yes, I'll meet you at North Park. And I had my nephew with me at the time. He's about 20 years old at the time. I said, let's go. And I ran and I grabbed my daughter. And today, like, I take care of my daughter. And I'm telling you this story not because I'm boasting about being a single father. It's not my desire to be a single father, but I'm saying that I only made it this far because of my relationship with God. God showed me who he was, but it was only after I determined in my heart that I was going to seek him. See, we're talking about a tent of meeting, and Israel, God was basically telling Israel, now it's up to you to seek me. But you know what? When they would head out to the tent of meeting, they had a certain expectation. They said, God, you set up outside of the camp, and if I make the effort to go and seek you, I know that you're going to be there. So there's some of you here tonight, when you go home, you're going to say, God, I want to know who you are. Show me who you are. But it's only after you make the decision to seek him that he'll reveal himself to us. See, and the beautiful thing about this whole thing is they would see their leader. They would see their leader, Moses. He would go into the tent of meeting. And he would meet with God, and God would speak to him face to face. That's what we hear. But they would see the love and the relationship that this man had. And God would reveal his presence. They didn't have to be in a tent with Moses to know that God was with them. They saw the glory cloud. They saw the cloud descend upon that tent. And because they saw the cloud descend upon that tent, they began to worship God. They stood at their tent and they realized how far they were from God. And they cried out, God, may we be a people like Moses. Because of the relationship that their leader had, they were in disobedience, but God never removed his love from them. God will never remove his love from us. There is no height, nor depth, nor width, nor length that can separate us from the love of God. I don't care what you have done. I don't care what you have been through. But there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Just like Pastor Joshua said, it's crazy because as he was sharing back there, I just kept hearing, share your testimony. That's the type of relationship God desires to have with us, but it falls upon us. We have to make a decision to seek God with all of our heart, with all of our minds. And I guarantee you, he will reveal himself to you. He will give you the strength to walk through whatever you're going through. So tonight I want to invite you up to the altar and seek God. Ask God into your heart. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Ask him to shower you with his presence, with his mercy, with his love. Now come on and join me. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you. Holy Spirit of God, we welcome you. Holy Spirit of God, we magnify you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that we would be a people that seek after your presence. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would become like Moses and develop a relationship with you. Father, that you would call us your friend. Father, that you would reveal yourself to us. Father, that we would develop a relationship with you that's so strong, you would use our lives to draw our loved ones in. Father, that you would release your love upon us. And Jesus, that wherever we would walk, we would magnify you. Because you said in your word, if your name be lifted up, you would draw all men unto yourself. Jesus, it is not about us, but it's all about you. It's all about everything that you have done for us because you love us. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen.